Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're truly a privileged people, Lord, to know that you're here. And Father, we know because we have, thus saith the Lord, we have, oh God, we're just so privileged, Lord, to know that we have, thus saith the Lord, to believe, Lord, that you've come, and not just to believe because we think it, but to believe because you have, with the infutability of your divine word, Lord, you vindicated your word, and you brought many infallible proofs, Father, showing that you have come down in this hour, and you have given us a message. You have made an announcement. You bring forth a shout, Father. And Lord, we're hungry and we're thirsting, Lord, after right wiseness, Father, and we believe that you're here to give it to us. We believe, Father, that you have come down because we cannot do it ourselves. But Lord, you can because you are the author and finisher of our faith. And therefore, Father, we humbly step aside, Lord, and just allow your thoughts to come forth. And Father, if there be any otherwise minded, we know that you'll reveal it to us because we're your bride. And we confess that we're your bride. And we have thus saith the Lord that we're your bride. And Lord, we just give back then the reverence. And Lord, coming boldly before your throne of mercy, we now petition thee, Father, that you would speak your word to us tonight and bring us forth into heavenly places in Christ Jesus, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I get so excited about these messages that God is giving us. And, you know, we could take 75 messages from oneness. And I'll tell you what, it's not us, it's Him. I really believe with all my heart that we're learning how to get ourselves out of the way, our thoughts out of the way. If God gives you a gift, you learn to use it, and you learn to get yourself out of the way, and you just step into it, and just, or you step out of it, actually, and He steps in and takes over. How many ever learned to ride a bicycle? Didn't it seem like it was pretty difficult when you first began? But after a while, it just seemed to get easier and easier. How many of you boys can ride a bicycle without using your handlebars? You couldn't when you first started, could you? But what happened? Now, your mom and dad gave you that gift, didn't they? And then you got on that gift, and at first you struggled with it, didn't you? But then what happened? Took off the training wheels, yeah, after a little bit. Well, that's the way I believe that it is with God and His elect, His children. You know, the Bible tells us in Malachi 3:16 that there's a bride who, children actually, sons, daughters of Him, who thought about Him. They spoke about Him. And you know what happened? As they begin to bring forth the right wiseness of the Word, they entered into right wiseness, into His glory, His doxa, His opinion, His assessment of Himself. And as they gazed upon Him, they came more and more into His likeness, and they got discernment. And you know what the discernment was? To know right from wrong, to be able to rightly divide the Word. Brother, sister, brought a boldness, it brought a parhesia. You find all these things, how they just beautifully fit together. Well, I appreciate so much the prophet more and more because I realize that the man was completely yielded. These weren't his own words. These were the words of God. Brother, sister, these are not, it's not a man you're feeding on. It's the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. And so we could be grateful. Now, tonight I'd like to pick up at paragraph 39. And those that weren't here Sunday, get the tape. It's on prayer. And Brother Bram said, paragraph 38, said, now, just before we approach the Word, we want to approach the author of the Word again. He said, you might eat too much, you might drink too much, you might laugh too much, you might walk too much, but you'll never pray too much. And so we covered prayer in quite a detail, and it'd be good for you and your family to get that and listen to it. We pick up at number 39 now. It says, you're Jesus, author of the Word of Life, and you are the Word. We solemnly now approach thee after the explaining of the vision that God, you bear me record, that is true. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll anoint the words tonight to the hearing of every ear that's under the divine sound. And if there be some here or listening in out across the nation, if they are not already and prepared at this hour to meet the challenge of the hour, the message from God, to repent and be ready for the kingdom of God is nearing, we pray that it'll be so tonight with them, that they will meet this hour's challenge. Oh God, I would pray for help, knowing the responsibility that it means and what I must answer at the day of judgment for all that I say here and elsewhere. Help me to be deadly sincerely, Lord, with all that I do or say in thy word, that it might bring forth fruit. For as your commission was, let not this word depart from thy mouth, but meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that's written in the law. And then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and when thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and very courageous, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest, Lord Jesus. Make it so tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And before I go on, it's interesting because Brother Branham is asking that God might bring success in his ministry, and you notice the more success he had, the further and further the crowds went away, until Brother Branham was down to just a handful in a trailer at the end, preaching out there in Arizona. So what we gear to be success in this hour or in this nation is completely the opposite with God. Brother Branham said, the way you go up is to go down. You know, he that humbles himself shall be exalted. See? But he that exalts himself shall be abased. So God said, my ways are not your ways. And we don't understand fully the ways of God. But let me tell you this, that we're getting more and more that way. We're beginning to let go of our own thinking. And we're beginning to realize that, you know, like I said a couple of weeks ago, I was just wondering, you know, it often troubles you when you see a little, people leave the church and stuff like that. But I woke up one morning to a revelation that God showed me that, hey, this is wonderful. Because we find out it's a scriptural way. Every true ministry of God got less and less and less until the very end, see. And so it just lets us know that we're walking in the bloody footsteps of our Lord and Savior. Now, for this opening service, Brother Branham continues, I can't do nothing but open it straight to our message. And that's what we're here for, and now it's what I come back for. And Sunday morning, the Lord willing, I want to meet that great challenge of the day about marriage and divorce. And then he says, now in Galatians 4, in verse 27, I wish to read these words. Galatians 4, 27 through 31. So if you would open our Bibles, and we'll just go ahead and read those, and then we're going to comment on that tonight. Galatians chapter 4, and he said, verse 27 through 31, to pick up our text for this great sermon that I believe we're going to spend some time on. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. For we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. For as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, you'll notice here, as the Scripture says, and I'm just going to stop here at this paragraph because there's so many things to comment on. I actually have 4 points out of this paragraph, and we'll only probably reach 2 of them tonight. But notice again as we read the Scripture here is a tremendous thing because Paul is saying something is so opposite. It's a paradox to our thinking. The paradox is this. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry. Not weep, but with a cry of, a shout of joy. See? Thou that travailest not. Why? For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now that's a paradox. Because the way that we are taught to think is in numbers. We would say, shout and cry and just rejoice because the church is packed out. Isn't that the way our thinking is geared to? And yet the Scripture says, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, and cry with great excitement, because many more are the children of the desolate than she which hath an husband. That ought to get you excited. Why? Well, The word rejoice there is a Greek word euphreno. And it means to put in a good frame of mind, to cheer or gladden. So the fact, brother, sister, that it should put you in a good frame of mind when you see the sheep pulling away from the wheat. It ought to get you excited. See? Notice Paul is quoting here because he says, it is written. And so we'll follow up in what he's quoting, and that's Isaiah. Chapter 54. And you find throughout this entire message, brother, sister, people are pulling away from the fact that God is here. They're pulling back into Pentecost everywhere. And that ought to make you excited. For as we read in Isaiah 54, and we'll read 1 through 17, he said, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud that thou didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. In other words, look, just because you haven't right now doesn't mean that God won't bless you down the road. You remember the trial that Abraham went through. You remember the trial, Sarah. You know, Sarah was just as much part of that promise as Abraham. The promise was through Sarah that Abraham's seed would outnumber the sands of the sea. Like Brother Branham would always say, Abraham, 99 years old, he'd say, you got those booties ready? You got those diapers ready? They say, you're crazy, man, Abraham. You 99 years old, going to have a son by Sarah who's 89 years old? He said, that's what God said. Well, Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Those 12 sons had innumerable sons. Those sons had innumerable sons. And see, many times, brother, sister, we want God's promises consolidated into a time frame of 1 to 2 days, 1 to 2 weeks, 1 to 2 months, 1 to 2 years. And we fail to recognize that as long as you follow God's dictate and you sow, you have got to reap. That is, thus saith the Scripture. See? Hallelujah. Now notice, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud that thou didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. In other words, she that doesn't have a husband seems to be having all the kids. She which is not married or living in adultery, the whore, the harlots, why, they have probably hundreds times more on their Wednesday night bingo than you have here to hear the word of God. See? Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Fear not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. In other words, set your heart and prepare. See? For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. In other words, don't just look at your temporary condition. Don't let it confuse you. See? For thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thine husband. What a tremendous blessing. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Let me read that again. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. Didn't Jesus Christ himself say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You remember that? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is he still forsaken? Just, brother, sister, a breath. Just a shadow in the dark. See? For thy Maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. See? The Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken, and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. Notice, for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed. Notice the song. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Remember, sing, O barren, thou that didst not break forth into singing. For the mountains shall be part, and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Who's he talking about? New Jerusalem. And I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. In right wiseness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not to me. Notice, they shall surely gather together, not speaking of you, but of them, but not unto me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that ploweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument of his works. I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their right wiseness is of me, saith the Lord. Now, if we follow this through, we turn to Isaiah chapter 51. We read 1 through 16. He says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after right wiseness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged." Hallelujah. Isn't New Jerusalem a stone that's cut out without hands, whose builder and maker is God? Then, brother, sister, it says, "Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence you are hewn." Brother, sister, we have come forth from the New Jerusalem to come back to the New Jerusalem. We've come forth from Zion, singing Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon our head. See? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return with shouting. See? Hallelujah. "Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone," not out of many, "alone, and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. Remember, Brother Branham said, every time you read the word Zion, it's speaking of the bride. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Now, what is a desert? A dry place, but what did Brother Branham always say when it referred to a desert? He said it was a place where no man was. Thou barren that bearest, see, rejoice thou barren that bearest. Why? Because your desert will turn into great soundings of joy. How many did Brother Branham say he saw on the other side? He said, are these Branhams? Are these all Branhams? Brother, sister, you've got a promise. From the very foundations of the earth, before the foundations of the earth, all that are in Christ, one of these days you're going to gather together those in the grave, those out of the grave. You talk about having fellowship. Hallelujah. Notice, hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. Let me just back up a little bit. He says, all her waste will become like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My right wiseness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look up upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my right wiseness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revelings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them up like wool. But my right wiseness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake. Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake, as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea away from the ransomed to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. That song again, see? They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be as made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if were ready to destroy? And where is the fury of the oppressor? To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. See? But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose ways roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Hallelujah. But notice how this word, going back to Galatians, what a tremendous thought that the Apostle Paul is bringing here. When he said, rejoice thou that barren, that bearest not. Break forth into an exciting shout, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. This word rejoice, brother, sister, it's found another time in the New Testament, in the book of Revelations. Chapter 12, Beginning at verse 3, it says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail," as Isaiah 9:15 says, "the prophet that speaketh lies, he is the tail." Brother Branham said, this isn't the T-A-I-L, but the tale that he told. "And his tale that he told drew the third part of the stars of heaven to cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness," that's the church, "where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven for him. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice say in heavens, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." Malachi 3:16, Deuteronomy 6:11. "And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore," notice, "rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Those who are left in tribulation, see. But notice those who are caught up, he says, rejoice. This word rejoice is used in a call to the heavens, to rejoice at the casting out of Satan, and to rejoice at the inauguration of the kingdom of God into manifestation and the authority of his Christ. Again, it is used of the destruction of the Babylonian system when the whore is destroyed. Notice chapter 18 and verse 20. "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." See? That's when Rome is basically taken out. Now notice, she, the true church, let's go back to Galatians chapter 4. In verse 27, "For it is written, rejoice thou that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which has an husband. Now we, brethren, are as Isaac, are the children of promise." Now notice, she, the true church, the bride, the one who truly has a husband, she is the one who appears barren, and yet she is told to rejoice. The free but true church of the living God is the one who seems barren. Now what does it mean to be barren? Without fruit. Nothing to show for her efforts. Nothing to show for all her lovemaking and pure devotion and patient waiting on her husband. The true church who alone has perfect peace and perfect liberty, because she alone has a perfect word from the very presence of her perfect God and husband. Yes, she alone is heir to everything. He, as yet, she is the one who seems to be barren and without fruit. Because of her position in Christ, she is at rest. And she does not do God a service without it being his will. So because she is doing what is commanded her to do for the hour that she lives, and what is that? She is simply laying in the presence of the sun to ripen. And therefore she appears to be idle with no fruits. No great efforts. She seems to be too secure, and her security surely brings no success and no prosperity. On the other hand, the false vine church, she cannot find rest, for there is no rest for the wicked. She is the one who has many more children, disciples. But she has them only because her rules that are laid down by man are more appealing to the carnal man. But the law of liberty is unknown to them. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we find this in Scripture. Beginning of verse 11, it says, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." For the sweet aroma of God's pure revelation is not known to those who are not of Him. They are spiritually discerned. And therefore, because the true bride is at rest under the seventh seal, she appears to be dead to the very active church, who herself is in bondage. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Notice, for the Scripture says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one..." Excuse me. Wrong Scripture, but it's good. Nonetheless. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." Verse 14. "And maketh manifest the aroma of His knowledge through us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet fragrance of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that also are perishing. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, the stench of death unto death. And to the other, the sweet smelling fragrance of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" It's a paradox. "For we are not as many which corrupt the word." Notice, we are not as few. It doesn't say that. It says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." There are more who corrupt the word of God than there are who rightly divide it. In Malachi 3:16, let's just read it. "Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance is written in His presence for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, in that day when I begin to act." Or as the Lamza says, "on that day when I will assemble the people. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and rightly divide between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." In Malachi 3:18, where we are to become discerners of the word, that means we are to come to a place where we rightly divide it, to know right from wrong, truth from error. And brother, sister, that brings rest. It brings peace. And that is why Hebrews 5:14 tells us to exercise our senses, our spiritual senses, by discerning or rightly dividing. Let's just turn to it. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age," or, well, that's this hour. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Notice, the senses are trained to rightly divide the word of truth. That is why Hebrews 5:14 tells us to exercise our senses, to train our senses, our spiritual senses, by discerning or rightly dividing. Now, let's go back to Galatians and follow this through. In other words, he's telling us, look, there should be a tremendous joy upon you when you look out and see the few numbers, but when you see the quality of the character of men and women
who are completely sold out, live, die, sink, or swim. If this word isn't it, there's nothing else. Not like those who would say, well, if this isn't it, praise God, it's getting us ready for that which is coming. Brother, sister, it is come. Brother Ransom, people are always looking forward, always looking back, and failing to recognize what God is already doing in their midst. See? Jesus stood to the Pharisees. They said, when is this great kingdom coming? He said, you blind Pharisee, it's already here, and you don't know it. It's already in your midst, and you're unaware. Chapter 4, verse 27, for it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. Children of the promise. Oh, if we could just grasp what he's saying. The word promiser is a Greek word, epagilia. Somehow it's pronounced like that, somewhat like that maybe. It means an announcement or a pledge, especially a divine assurance. You know, we sing the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. A divine assurance. The word actually means a message. For we are the children, as Isaac was, are the children of the message. You know, a thought came to me here. And it's interesting because we'll probably get into that down the road, but you notice Abraham had two sons by two different women. Is that right? Hagar, Sarah, produced Ishmael, Isaac. Now remember that in this hour, Brother Branham said, we're royal seed of Abraham. You know, we had a prophet that had two sons by two women. I'm not going to call one Ishmael and the other Isaac. But one of them was a child of promise, wasn't he? But you know, in Romans chapter 4, where Paul said, in fact, maybe it's here. No, I believe it's in Romans. Well, Paul lets us know that he said it's of seed, not seeds, plural, but of seed, which is Christ. Letting you know, brother, sister, that though even though there was those who were born after the flesh, it's not those that are born after the flesh that God is concerned with, it's those that are born of the Spirit. We find in John chapter 8, Jesus said, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. In other words, we're not serpent seed. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You cannot understand my word. See? You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He is a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth. See Cain. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. In other words, he's got to add his own. He's got to have his own opinion. For he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth, understandeth God's words. You therefore hear them not or understand them not, because you are not of God. Now notice, you've got a royal seed of Abraham in this hour. A-B-R-H-A-M. A-B-R-A-H-A-M, seven letters. Remember Billy Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M, six letters, man's number. Seven letter number of God, G-R-A-H-A, or G-R-A-H-A, no, A-B-R-A-H-A-M. Seven letters. B-R-A-N-H-A-M. Seven letters. Both ending in ham. Both of them had brought forth two sons through two different women. One of them had a both of them had a promised son. And yet the blessing or the promise did not come to the physical son. Now, I'm not excluding Joseph out of the promise, because if he's born again by the Spirit of God, he has every bit of right, just as Isaac had a right. See? And I'm not excluding Billy Paul by no means, but I'm showing you in type, it's not to the flesh, it's to the Spirit. Now, if the promise then, and notice this word promise is a Greek word epigalia, and it means an announcement or a pledge, especially divine assurance. It means a message or a promise or a summons as by a judge. It also means to announce or, listen to this, to engage. We are the children of the engagement. Hallelujah. You see why he's saying rejoice, thou barren that bearest not? Does it really matter to you that you have conceived and brought forth fruit? Or does it matter that you've got the great seed giver in your midst, and that all the seed that he ever wants, he'll surely give you in due time? See? We turn to Romans chapter 4. Verse 13 to 20. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, through the flesh, see, but through the righteousness of revelation. For if they which were of the law or of the flesh were heirs, then revelation is made void and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of revelation, that it might be by grace, and to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, or after the flesh, but to, not in other words, not to just say Joseph, for those that believe that way, but to that also which is of the revelation of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, doesn't the Scripture tell us, since the fathers fell asleep, we're going to find it here in just a moment, the same thing, where is the promise? And the last father was William Branham, who begat children spiritually to this gospel. Notice, let's read on. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. In other words, a promised son. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according, now notice, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in revelation, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed unto him for right wiseness. And not, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. And remember, he's come down with a shout. He's come down with a message. He's come down with a promise. See? With an announcement. With an engagement. If you turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. And verse 13 to 16. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, notice, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through revelation. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not as to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Notice the promise is made to one, Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in His presence, and then in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, whereunto He has made us both, He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Brother and sister, Ephesians 1 tells us we were in Him before the foundations of the world when the very promise that was made to Christ was spoken. And if we were in Him, brother and sister, we are part of Him. Then the very promise, as Paul said in Romans, that was not unto seeds but unto seed, was given to us also. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Paul says, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. For ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So what does it say? Then if you have the Spirit of Christ, you are His. See? And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of right wiseness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that if we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So if the promise was made to Christ, and we were not only in Him, but a part of Him, then if we are a part of Him, we therefore are to be a recipient of the blessing and the promise given to Christ Himself. We are recipient then of the blessing and His inheritance. Then there is no way we could ever be left out of the Father's will. We find in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according, notice, to the promise of life. Where is this promise? Which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We were in Him before the foundations of the world. And the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, brother, sister, it's in Him. You're in Him. Then that promise is yours just as much as it's His. Then if God took Him out of the grave, He's obligated to take you up. See, the promise of His life is in Christ, from whence we came and to whence we must return. And notice, it is He who has come for us to gather us, to quicken us. Notice in John chapter 17, the great prayer of Jesus about oneness. Verse 20 to 26, he said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. In other words, this hour. Remember, Paul said, I only those that believe this testimony in that day. That they also may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, the doxa, the opinion, the assessment, the judgment which thou gavest me, I have given them. That they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me. That they may be made perfect or complete in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me wherever I am. That they may behold my glory, my opinion, my assessment, my judgment, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world, and they were with me in me. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, notice, Alpha and Omega, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. God said it, and God cannot lie. Therefore we have blessed assurance. Notice in Hebrews chapter 9, just a couple scriptures here we'll close. And verse 11 to 15, but Christ becoming high priest, or being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Notice, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under that first testament, they which are called might receive, notice, the promise of what? Eternal inheritance. Hallelujah. Rejoice, thou barren that bearest. Thou who livest in a in a world all alone. Your husband is here. Your God has descended with a shout, with a message, with a promise, with an engagement ring. See the ring? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And the beautiful stone at the top of the ring is Christ, the great diamond, in which the seven colors of God come forth. The stone made without hands. Oh, brother, sister. The promise, the announcement, the message, the engagement of eternal inheritance. Now it is interesting that the same way that the bride is at rest and thus appears to be idle, our groom appears to the false church to be the same. That means, brother, sister, we're coming into his image. If you turn with me in closing, 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Brother Bram used this as his text for the rapture. That you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, mockers, imitators, walking after their own lusts, their own ideas, their own opinions, and saying, where is the promise of his parousia, his presence? Notice, where is the promise? Where is the message? Where is the engagement of his parousia? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Why do you think the Pentecostals in this message are trying to go back and become the fathers themselves? Why do you think they're trying to resurrect William Branham from the dead, or at least the spirit of William Branham, and become little William Branhams themselves? Because they're saying, all things continue. We've got to do something. Where is the promise? of his parousia? Where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of Christ in the midst of the bride? And they're looking, brother, sister, to Mount... they're looking to... Was it Gerizim? No, Gerizim, Mount Horeb. Anyway, they're looking to the wrong one. They should be looking to Mount Zion. They should be laying in the presence of the Son to ripen, not trying to bring forth their own. For this willingly they are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. In other words, brothers and sisters, they're ignorant of the word of God. They're ignorant of the promise. They're looking for the promise, and they're looking not to the word. Whereby the world that was there perished and overflowed with water, but the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth shall also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for the and hasting unto the parousia of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth right wiseness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found in of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our brother, beloved brother Paul, also according to wisdom, giveth unto him, hath written unto you. What's he saying? Look, the wheel is in the wheel. He that began it is going to finish it. So rejoice, thou that's barren. Thou that bearest not, break forth and cry. Break forth in great joy, because the very fact that he hasn't given you many, many children at this point is because he's enjoying you in the state that you're in. How many people get married and they say, boy, if I can just put off having children for 3 years or 5 years and really have a long honeymoon with my husband. Doesn't always work that way, but that's your intention. Brother, sister, we've got 1,000 years of a honeymoon coming. Why rush it? Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, and break forth with great shoutings that the King is in the camp. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are not in the midst of these churches that have 200, 300, 400 people, 500, 600, 700 people, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, that we might rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, and break forth with great joy. For many more are the children of the harlot than she which hath an husband. And we thank you, Lord, that we do have a husband. And not a husband by proxy, but a husband who is here. Your prophet told us that our old husband was a church, our new husband is the Word. And we know, Lord, that you have come down in the form of the Holy Spirit, in the form of the Word in this hour. And by your Word, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, and therefore your presence has got to be identified, and it can only be identified by your word coming forth. Therefore we know who you are by your word, vindicated to be so. now to you, who are the author and finisher of our faith, we commit our faith back to thee as Abraham did, believing you're more than able to perform it. You, which began the good work in us, shall perform it unto the end. And now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and glory and praise, for we know that your promise cannot fail, it's immutable. You said it, and you've come down to bring it to pass. And we thank you and humbly submit ourselves to it. In Jesus Christ's precious name, amen.